Folks, if you've got your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Just going to look at Deuteronomy together, Deuteronomy 30. It's called Choose Life. And really, I want to just give you a word for the holidays as we go into this December time, what we used to call the silly season, and just to help you. And so, Lord, we just pray for your blessing on your word this morning, that you would speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. So here we have Moses. Moses is 120 years old in Deuteronomy chapter 30, and he's about to hand over leadership to Joshua, and they're about to enter into the promised land. He goes up onto the mountain to look over the promised land. He doesn't actually enter into the promised land, and he dies there on Mount Nebo. And it says in Jude that an angel buried him. Isn't that interesting? But here in Deuteronomy chapter 30, before he climbs the mountain to look over the promised land, he is gathering the nation of Israel together, and they are renewing the covenant that was made in Exodus at Mount Sinai. And Moses is gathering the nation, he's going to transfer leadership, and he's encouraging them to commit themselves afresh to the Lord. And so let's look together at Deuteronomy chapter 30. Let's look at verse 19 together. I'm going to read just one verse and pick up the rest of the chapter later. And Moses says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life, that you and your offspring may live. Choose life, that you and your offspring may live. Now in the New Testament, we don't come under a curse. Jesus has been cursed that we may be blessed and usher in eternal life. But here in Deuteronomy chapter 30, Moses is talking to the people of Israel, and he wants them to choose the life of God. He wants them, as they enter into the promised land, to choose the things of God and to choose life. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about choosing life, because it's relevant for us today as well in the new covenant as well. So I want to talk to you about choosing life this holiday. I want to talk to you about, as you go into this December time, to choose life, to make choices this holiday that will enhance the life of God in your life. And so I want to look at three things this morning. I want to look at the old, the new, and then at you. The old covenant, the new covenant, and then at you this morning as we gather around this word. So let's look first of all at the old covenant. Here in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy was part of the first five books of Moses called the Torah. Moses wrote these books, and it was also Jesus' favorite book in the wilderness. He quoted a lot from Deuteronomy. And here we have in Deuteronomy chapter 30, the Ten Commandments reappearing again as Moses gathers this new generation together, this new group of people together. Their parents had died out in the wilderness, and now this was a young generation that was about to enter into the promised land. And here Moses is calling them to renew their commitment to the Lord, to renew the covenant that he had with them. And friends, that's needed every generation. I don't know if you're aware, we've often said it, but here in this church, what we're trying to do is to raise up the next generation that they may have the gospel and come to know the Lord. Grace Generation Church, that's in our name. And so our whole job, our whole purpose, our whole assignment in this church is to impart the grace of God and by the help of the Lord to this next generation. In South Africa, that's really our job, because the previous generation grew up under apartheid, under the old system in South Africa, and in many ways, the previous generation didn't live out the gospel. And in many ways, the previous generation, many of us from that era, lived in a time when the gospel was not fully proclaimed or proclaimed properly in our land. And here we have an opportunity again to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to a new generation coming through, a gospel of one new man in Christ, where there's no Jew or Greek, male or female, black or white. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And so that's part of our mission and part of our assignment as a church. That's why we've got a multicultural church. It's to reach this next generation with the gospel. It's the task of every generation to reach that generation with the gospel and to put biblical values in this next generation. And that's what we're doing here. That's our purpose that God has given us. Our assignment is to get the gospel to this next generation. And we rejoice and we thank God for all that has happened in that area as well. It's our assignment in South Africa that this new generation would know the Lord Jesus. And that's exactly what Moses is doing here. He's gathering this younger generation. He's saying, now come on, you commit yourself to the purposes of God. You're about to go into the promised land. Commit yourself to God's purposes and choose life. Choose God's ways. And that's what he says to them. And he encourages them to trust and obey the Lord and to lay hold of the promises of God in the promised land. Obedience will bring blessing, national blessing. It won't save you. The law was never meant to save you. They were saved already. They were saved out of Egypt. They were saved by the blood of the Lamb. But if you obey the Lord, you will experience blessing. Even in the new covenant, if you obey the Lord, you will experience his blessing. And so Moses is instructing them and helping them. And he's speaking into every area of the life of Israel. Economics and family and law and every area he's speaking into as well. Food laws, so that they've got a kingdom view of life. It's covering every area of life. And that's what God wants for us as well. Next year, when we start the year off, we want to do the Uncovered series again in this church, where we look at relationships and sex and dating and marriage again. And you might say, well, didn't we do that 2 years ago? Yes, we did. But we want to repeat it again because it's so important. It's such an important topic. And just like Moses, we want to speak into these areas and put biblical values into people. It's the hope for the nation that we're building a new generation that are founded on God's word and founded on biblical principles, because South Africa needs that more than anything else. What we're doing here is the most important job. And that's what Moses was doing there. But when Moses spoke to them, there's a little key in this chapter, because Moses realized that actually without heart change, you can't be fully obedient to the Lord. Look with me at verse 6, chapter 30, verse 6. Moses says to the Israelites, a little clue there, he says, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. And so Moses has learned something in his leadership of the Israelites. And he's learned this, that unless God changes our hearts, we can't really be obedient. We can't follow him properly. We can't follow him fully. We can't please him unless we have new hearts. And he's looking ahead prophetically to the gospel, to when Jesus will come and Jesus will give us new hearts. So that's the story in the old covenant here. Let's move to the new covenant. Let's look at that quickly this morning. In the new covenant, Jesus ushered in the new covenant with his blood and his death and his resurrection. We've been celebrating that this morning. And the new covenant, friends, changes us internally. It changes us on the inside. We get given new hearts and the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. And God gives us new hearts under the new covenant, which helps us to achieve what the law could never do. And that is to obey the Lord and to follow the Lord fully. And so we know that the old covenant was ineffective because laws can't change us. Laws can't change you. Only having a new heart can change you. And Moses knew that, and he was sort of pointing towards that. And in the new covenant, we know that we have received new hearts through the gospel. And our hearts resist rules, but our hearts receive the gospel. So in the new covenant, you've given a new heart by Jesus. You have been justified. Your position has been changed, but you've also been changed on the inside. You've been given a new heart. You've been regenerated. We have been made brand new on the inside under the new covenant. Hallelujah. And folks, it's so important for us to understand that. Let's just turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 together. 2 Corinthians 5. Let's look there together at verse 16. It's Paul's talking about being a new creation in Christ. And he says, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Say new creation. He's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And so when you got saved, when you became a Christian, Something happened on the inside of you that was brand new. There was a complete change on the inside. The Bible says the old has passed away and the new has come. And it's so important for us to realize that, because particularly in the area of the doctrine of man and what God's done in our lives, there's so much confusion these days. There's so much confusion in counseling circles as well. We were at a supper 2 weeks ago in Durban, and we were sitting next to some Christians, and this woman was telling us in all seriousness about her family, wonderful Christian couple, and her daughters and her family, and how she's had problems with some of her kids, because she said, you need to know the reason we've had problems is because some of them have suffered from generational curses, and that's why we've had problems. And she was then telling about us about the law of the firstborn, and we just thought, where do Christians get all this stuff from? Where do we get all this strange teaching from? We didn't say anything to her, but friends, the Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Jesus has broken all that stuff. Jesus has set you free. You've been made brand new on the inside. In John chapter 3, let's just look there together. John 3, these wonderful verses where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. He says here in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus is talking to him and he says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so, friends, once I was spiritually dead, but when I came to Christ, he made me spiritually alive. I have been born again. I have been regenerated. You know these things, but I want to remind you again this morning. We have been regenerated. And because we've been regenerated, because we've received new hearts, I can obey the commands of God. Because God has given me a new heart. I can obey the commands of God. The old me has died. And what you see today is the new me in Christ. Your old person has completely died, and now this is the new person in Christ. Ezekiel 36 says the same thing. Ezekiel also says, I will create a new covenant with you, says the Lord, and I will give you a new heart, and I will give you a new spirit, says the Lord. And so, friends, when you become a Christian, you have been changed in your total personality. Your mind, your will, your emotions, your innermost nature has been changed by the Lord. God says, I will remove your heart of stone and I will give you a heart of flesh so that you're able to obey me and walk in my statutes. And so in the New Testament, obedience comes from the heart, and a heart that's been changed by the Lord. And our hearts are new because Jesus and the gospel, in our great gospel encounter with Jesus, Jesus has circumcised our hearts. Jeez, I nearly brought a big knife with me this morning, but I thought, no, I'm getting carried away. But Jesus has kind of, he's come and he's circumcised our hearts. When you believed in Christ, he came and through a spiritual act of surgery and by the word of God and by the Spirit of God, he came into your life and he cut away the hardness that was over your heart. He cut away. It wasn't outward circumcision of the flesh. It was an inward circumcision of your heart. And the Holy Spirit cut away that hardness. He cut away that sinful domination of your old nature. He cut it away and he removed it. And he gave you a new heart. We've all had heart transplants from Jesus. That's what he's done for us. He's cut it away. And that is what the Bible tells us. He's given us new hearts. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2. Let's just look there together this morning. Romans 2, verse 28. Romans 2, 28 says this. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. So how many Jews have we got here this morning? Hands up. Only three of us. Okay, let me try again. How many Jews? All put your hands up. We're all Jews in that sense. We've all had our hearts circumcised by the Lord, not just outwardly, but inwardly. And then turn with me to Colossians chapter 2 as well. Just to Colossians chapter 2. And Paul says the same thing in the letter to the Colossians, which we looked at last year. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 says this. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. He set it aside, nailing it to the cross. And so what we need to realize is that just as in the old covenant, circumcision for every male child on the eighth day, they circumcised the male child on the eighth day. Later on, medical study told us that your blood clotting factor in children, this is for our pediatricians amongst us here, is the greatest on the eighth day. And they used to circumcise the male child on the eighth day as a sign that you are part of the nation of Israel. So in the new covenant, one of the signs that you're a Christian is that you have a circumcised heart. God has done something on the inside of you. And we do no longer have a sinful nature. We have a new nature in Christ. That's why we've encouraged people not to read the NIV. I know sometimes we do, because the NIV talks about having a sinful nature. No. Christians do not have a sinful nature. We have a new nature. We've been given a new, and this is a big deal. It's very important. We have been given a new nature, and that's who you really are in Christ. It's the truth about you. It's your central personality. You are a new creation in Christ. Michael Eaton says, we are not under sin's dominion any longer. We can take up the battle with a sense of victory and fight a fight of faith against sin. And we can win the final struggle to put sin down. It is a struggle, but it is a struggle in a war that has already been won. Sometimes we struggle with the world. Sometimes we do struggle with the flesh. Even our own hearts, even our new hearts, can get drawn away into different things. And sometimes we struggle with the devil, but the battle has been won. And we are new creatures in Christ. And he has also raised us to new life in Christ. That means I have been made completely new. I am a new creation. I am completely new outside of the realm of sin. Yes, outside of the realm of sin. Doesn't mean I never sin, but I've been taken out of the realm of sin. And I've been placed into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Colossians 1 verse 13. I'm now in the realm of Christ. I'm no longer in Adam. I'm in Christ. Say in Christ. I've been placed in Christ. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creature in Christ. Colossians 1 13. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness. And he has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's our glorious gospel. And that's what we've been preaching the last 3 years more and more. We've been on this gospel revolution, preaching this gospel good news. So Moses is hinting at it in the Old Testament. He says, choose life, but he realizes you actually need a new heart to do that. In the new covenant, Jesus has given us new hearts. Given us new hearts in Christ. We're new creation, new creatures in Christ. But number three, what should our response be, therefore, to this good news? And I want to just focus on this morning as I wrap up this message. What should our focus be? Well, Moses tells us here to choose life. And even under the new covenant as well, God is looking for obedience. You know that, don't you? God is looking for obedient sons and obedient children as well. In the new covenant, if we choose life, we will also receive God's blessing. And we find when you choose God and you choose life, they kind of go together. If you choose God, you get life. If you choose life, you get God. Because God is a God of life. He is our life. He is the Spirit of life. That's John's language. He speaks about whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. In 1 John 5, we looked at that this year as well. So what should our response be? How do we choose life as Christians? As you go into this December holidays, I want to encourage you to make good choices. I want to encourage you this December holidays to use it as a time of spiritual renewal, a time of spiritual refreshment. You know, we've said already, if you're tired, get some sleep. If you're weary, press into the Lord. And often at this time of the year, we can, I know we're not allowed to say that, but we do get tired and we do get weary. And I would encourage you to use this holiday, friends, and I'm going to certainly do that, to just press into the Lord. And I would encourage you to choose His life this holiday. So I want to help you just with those three little words, how to choose His life, to choose life. And I want to encourage you, first of all, we have a part to play in making good choices as Christians. We have a part to play in making good choices. Life flows from good choices. That's what the Bible tells us here. It tells us that it flows from good choices. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30. You still with me? Stay with me, as Bob Roberts said in Turkey. Stay with me. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And if you have a look at verse 11, he says, Moses says, this commandment that I'm giving you today is not too hard for you. You see that? Look at verse 11. It's not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea and bring it to us that we may hear and do it? No, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. Friends, we can please the Lord. We can make choices that are going to cause the life of God to break out in our lives. And that's my encouragement to you this December. The word of God, the gospel, it's not too high spiritually that we can't understand it. It's not too high. It's not beyond the sea. It's not in some other country that we have to travel there to get it. The Bible says, no, the word of the Lord is near us. It's in our mouths so we can speak it, and it's in our hearts so that we can believe it. And I would encourage you this holiday to choose life, to make choices this holiday in relationships, in the places you go to, in the things you look at, in the things you do, to choose life this December holiday. Make sure you choose life. Say, Lord, I want this holiday, I want this December to be a life-giving time in my life. Don't allow things to creep back into your heart that are going to rob you of the life of God. Proverbs chapter 4 says, guard your heart because from it spring the issues of life. And so I would encourage you this holiday to make the right choices, to make good choices with family, with friends, with the things you do this holiday, with the things you do with your time as well. Don't allow, we've been given new hearts, but don't allow sin to creep in and to begin to affect your heart again and to lodge in your heart again. Don't allow that to happen. Sin cannot rule over our position as Christians, but it can affect our condition. Okay? It won't affect our position. We're always saved. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But it can affect our condition. As one writer said, you can have eternal life, but you may not experience abundant life. And a lot of it is involved in our choices. Our choices are involved in it. Don't allow things to happen to you this holiday that will rob the life of God from you, that will sap the life of God from you. Keep your heart free of those things and allow God to take you on a time of spiritual renewal and connection with Jesus this holiday. I don't have any medical stories. I haven't delivered any babies in car parks, unfortunately, as Drew did. I would have run away with a security guard and not come back. But I want to give you a medical story of my own this morning. I've not delivered. Being at the birth of our children, my daughter's here this morning, was one of the scariest things of my life. So I don't have Drew's courage when it comes to babies being delivered. But let me tell you something about myself as well. What happened was, I've been to the doctor the last couple of weeks, and he said to me, your cholesterol's built up. You need to do something about it. Your cholesterol has lined the arteries of your heart. We need to put you on some medications. Been there for a couple of years. And although I've got good cholesterol, and although I'm fit, and all these things work together, they add your age and your good cholesterol and your bad cholesterol, and then they give you a score. And I didn't get a great score. My score was about 7. And my daughter and my wife started working my case and saying, you need to go and see the doctor. So I have had to go on some medication. And you can pray for me as well. And but part of the reason I'm using this story is that cholesterol builds up in the lining of your heart and it causes problems in your arteries. And in the same way, friends, we don't want to let things build up in our lives that block the flow of God in our lives. Make good choices as Christians. Choose God's life. Don't let things build up in your life. Don't let things rob you of the life of God. That's my first point. Secondly, don't be led by feelings in your Christian life this holiday. Don't be led by feelings. Moses says, choose life. He doesn't say, be led by your feelings. And we're living in a time today where more and more we're a generation that's being led by our feelings. The one writer said, we're in a society where the words I feel have become the coin of the communication realm. What people feel has become the basis of much decision making and popular counsel. So a woman will say, I've lost all feelings of love for my husband, therefore our marriage is over. Or someone else will say, I don't feel like reading my Bible, so therefore I don't do it. Or someone else will say, I feel that God is distant, like my own father was, so I'm angry with God. Don't allow feelings to lead you in your Christian life. Don't be led by feelings. Even this holiday, don't do impulsive buying, being led by feelings. You go to the mall, the music's playing, looks great. You buy something, afterwards you think, how did I get this? I don't really need this. Don't be led by feelings. It's so important. Rather be led by God's truth. And that's really what Moses is saying. He's saying, choose life. Make choices that are based on God's truth, not based upon your feelings. And so, if you look at an engine, a railway engine, a train, a steam train, God's truth is like the coal that feeds the engine of your behavior that keeps you running forward, and the feelings are the carriages that it pulls behind it. But we should not be led by feelings. Our feelings should not lead us. Our feelings should not direct us in the Christian life. So I would encourage you this holiday, make good choices, and don't just make choices based on your feelings. Don't allow your feelings to rule you. Don't allow your feelings to lead you this holiday as well. Thirdly, keep yourself happy in God this December. My holiday word for you, keep yourself happy in God. Contentment is a huge thing in the Christian life. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'm giving you points on how to choose life. One, make sure you make good choices. Number two, don't be led by feelings. So many Christians today are led by feelings. Let feelings be servants, not masters in your life. Don't be led just by your feelings. And number three, keep yourself happy in God. Keep yourself contented in God this holiday. Philippians chapter 4, Paul tells us something here. In verse 10, he says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Friends, the best choices we make come from happy hearts. We make bad choices when we're discontented. We make bad decisions when inside we're frustrated or discontented. And Paul's telling us here that he's learned the secret in the Christian life of being content. So I would encourage you this holiday, let Jesus breathe his happiness and his joy back into your life this holiday. Don't listen to voices of discontent, voices that say, you deserve better, or I don't deserve this. But let Jesus build his joy and his truth back into your life again. Settle the fact that ultimate happiness and rest can be found in none other than Jesus and the gospel. Let me encourage you. Gather your family this holiday and just spend time with your family this holiday, just giving thanks to God. Just saying, Lord, I want to thank you. You've got children with you. Gather them this holiday and just give thanks to the Lord. Thank God for all he's given you. Repent of ungratefulness. Just repent of, maybe there's things this year that have built up in your life. You say, Lord, I want to repent of ungratefulness. As you begin your December holidays, how is your heart? That's really what I'm after this morning. How is your heart? Are you happy inside? Or are there frustrations? Are there some bits of discontent, anger, frustrations? Folks, give that to God. Give that to God. Don't just charge into the holidays, but give him your heart. Paul says, I've learnt in whatever situation to be content. It's such a huge thing in the Christian life, to be content in God, to be happy. In Psalm 50 says, verse 14, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. Sometimes to give thanks is like a sacrifice because it's not easy. I would encourage you this holidays, just be thankful. Just be thankful. Thank God for what he's given you. Thank God for where he's placed you. Thank God for what he's done in your life this year. Open your heart to him and allow him to minister to you this holiday. And finally, God will recreate you for next year. God will recreate you. If you study the book of Deuteronomy, you will find that God often gives them fresh starts in life. They have their debts canceled every 15 years in Deuteronomy. All their debts are canceled. So if you've got a mortgage or a bond, every 15 years it's completely canceled. They're able to climb out of debt. It's not a handout, it's a climb out. Wouldn't that be wonderful? They also have times of refreshing and holidays, which are holy days. That's where the word comes from. And they have 5 annual festivals in Deuteronomy. They go camping in Jerusalem with their families. There's Passover, there's Pentecost, there's Tabernacles. Psalm 84 is talking about blessed are those who set their hearts on pilgrimage. And friends, God gives us rest. And when he gives us that kind of rest, he recreates us. And he helps us to find new life again, and new joy, and new vigor. And so I would encourage you this holiday, make good choices. Make good choices. Don't do stuff that you're going to regret come January. Number 2, don't be led by your feelings. Don't be led by your feelings this holiday. Moses says, choose life. Make those choices. Don't just be led by your feelings. Thirdly, keep yourself happy in God this December. Make sure the atmosphere in your home is happy. Shannon and I have been talking about that lately as well. Keep the atmosphere. Put some music on. Keep yourself happy in God. Ask God to help you to be content. If there are issues that have happened to you this year, just give it to Jesus. Just say, Lord, I pray you'd help me to just give that stuff to you. What I'm saying is make time to be with God as the holiday starts and through the holiday, and just do some heart work with God. Does that make sense? Just do some heart work with him and just make sure your heart is good with God. And that you're going into the holidays in order that God may recreate you, that he may refresh you, that he may energize you, that he may give you vision for next year again. That's really what we're looking for. He recreates us. He gives us rest when we put him first. We're living in a generation that is the most stressed generation in the history of humankind today. We're living in the most stressed times. And we have to learn to do this stuff more and more. So don't pack your holiday full of stuff. Don't rush off to see the family in Joburg. And then we got this happening, and then we're moving house, and then we're doing this, and then we shop. Just pull up the handbrake and say, Lord, I want to choose life. I want you to work in my heart this holiday, Lord. I want to put you first. Lord Jesus, I don't want to be led by my feelings. I want to make good choices, Lord. I want the atmosphere in my home and in my heart, Lord, to be content, to be happy. Lord, if there's been a grumbling in my spirit and a frustration this year, things have happened, they've kind of stuck to me like cholesterol in my arteries. Lord, won't you clear them out? And they don't build up. I've got to take a little pill at night. I wish it was like that spiritually. I wish we could just take a little pill and we'd be fine. But it's not that easy. So we need some spiritual statins where we can just come to Jesus. And Lord, won't you just clean out our spiritual tubes and keep my new heart clean of all this stuff and this influence. It's so important we do this, guys. This is a word for us as we go into the holidays. Moses says, choose life that you and your children may live and experience all that God has for us. God is a God of life. There's not a shred of deadness about God. Nothing about him or his kingdom is dead. That Satan comes to kill, to rob, and to destroy. Married a couple yesterday. And while I was doing the marriage vows, I've got marriage vows still from the Anglican church I've been using, that when we first went into the ministry, those are the ones we used We've been using them ever since. And I thought to myself, to have and to hold, for richer, for poorer, for sickness and health. I thought, why am I saying this, sickness and health? Just let's say health. Let's just say blessing. Because it's the enemy that comes to kill, to rob, and to destroy. And I scratched it out of the marriage vows. I changed my marriage vows. Because God comes that we may have life, and life more abundantly. We don't want to be saying that kind of thing over people. We're receiving sickness and we're receiving poverty. No, no, no. I know sometimes we may get sick. But God is a God of life. You hear me? Am I communicating here? And we want to choose life, friends, as we go into this holiday. We want, Lord, won't you enrich my life? I don't want to get stuck in any area, Lord. I want to make choices that glorify your name. I want to spend time in your presence, Lord, where you recreate me. I want you to come and clean out the tubes of my heart if stuff has got stuck there in 2012. I don't want to try and move into 2013 with these things. And we find a generation later, Joshua did the same thing with his generation. If you look at Joshua chapter 24, let's just look there as I close. Joshua 24. He's also about to transfer leadership. And well, he didn't transfer leadership, but he's also come to the end of his race. And in Joshua 24, he says this to the people of Israel. In Joshua 24, verse 14, he says this, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the river or the gods of the Amorites. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He says exactly the same thing Joshua says. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He reminds them of the grace of God. As you look back over this year, remember the grace of God in your life this year. We forget His blessings. We forget the grace of God. Often Avril prays with us on a Tuesday morning with elders. He often prays for what may seem insignificant things. He said, "Lord, thank you. We've got toes and we've got eyes and we've got blankets, and we've got food, and we've got a car." And you know, when you think about it, you think, that's right. We need to thank God for all these things. We need to be thankful. And as you look back over this year, friends, cultivate a grateful heart. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Paul says, "I've learned the secret in all things." In all things, all he went through. If you looked at Paul's body, he probably would have had a scar on his eye, cuts on his head, broken ribs, lashes on his back. He says, "I've learned the secret." It is a secret. I'm not there yet. He says, "But I've learned the secret in all things to be content, to be grateful." As you approach this December, just spend some time saying, "Lord, thank you for this year. I just want to say thank you, Jesus. Help me to make good choices, Lord. Help me to cultivate an atmosphere in my home that's happy and thankful and joyful and grateful. Help me not to be led by my feelings. I want to make choices that are life-giving. And Lord, won't you recreate me these holidays? Won't you do something in me that I don't come back in 2012, 13, but that I spring back because God has been at work in my life." Moses says, "Choose life that you may live." And my word to you and my word to myself this morning is, friends, let's choose life this holiday. Don't get into any situations or relationships or family things that are going to rob you of the life of God. Choose His life that you may live. Let's stand together. Father, let's lift our hands to Him. Father, we pray that you would help us. Lord, at the end of a long year, we want to come to you and we want to say thank you, Lord. Let's just thank Him this morning. We said this was a service of thanksgiving. Just thank Him this morning. Just say, "Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all you've done in our lives." And then just give Him your heart this morning. Just give Him your heart. You have a new heart, but give it to Him this morning and say, "Lord Jesus, won't you work in my heart right now? I give you my heart this December, Lord. I give you my heart. Lord Jesus, that you would come and you would clean away where there's sin, Lord, where there's ungratefulness, where there's been build-ups of deposits and stuff that shouldn't be there, Lord, just clean me out, I pray. And help me, Lord Jesus, to rest and to be refreshed this holiday. Prepare me for next year. Won't you say that to the Lord? Prepare me for 2013. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Help me not to be led by my feelings, just to be impulsive this holiday. But Lord, help me to be led by your Spirit, led by your Word, led by your truth, the truth of God's Word. Lord, help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And then say to the Lord, as Joshua said, say, Lord, as for me and my house, we will serve you, Lord. Don't you tell the Lord that this morning? Say, Lord, I will serve you into next year. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We'll choose life. We'll choose the life of God. We worship you, Lord. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you, you're the author of life. And we magnify your name, Jesus' name.